Hello everybody and welcome to the British Invasion podcast here on ProWrestling.net. My name is Darren Gutchage. I'm joined tonight by Mr. Hayden Glead.
Hello everybody.
And we're here to take you through this weekend's upcoming NXT show, NXT TakeOver Toronto, which is now becoming, I kind of think, whenever we get a big four pay-per-view, it seems we're going to be getting NXT TakeOver special as well. That's fantastic. It helps legitimize Survivor Series a little bit more in my mind. And a TakeOver is never a bad thing. And we're going to tell you all about it after this. Welcome back to the British Invasion podcast here on ProWrestling.net. Yes, if you want to hear an audio review of this show, come Saturday night, or if you want to hear an audio review of Survivor Series, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, ROH, TNA, Lucha Underground, Progress Wrestling from over here in the UK, you can. All you need to do, go over to ProWrestling.net, click on the membership sign-up information, and for just $7.50 a month, you get access to audio reviews of all of those shows I've just mentioned, plus access to the .NET Weekly podcast, the flagship show here on ProWrestling.net, where Jason Pell and a guest, which might be myself, Will Pruitt, Zach Zimmerman, Jake Barnett, John Moore, not Hayden, of course, but...
Every time.
You have to understand, Hayden, this kind of reverse psychology. If I keep bringing it up, it keeps being mentioned. Eventually, you'll get on there. If I didn't mention it at all, you would never get on there, Hayden.
I get invited, but my schedule don't mess with Jason. Sorry, carry on your plug. Stop picking on me.
I will do when you get on .NET Weekly, like I have been several times, where I got to discuss the week's news with Jason Pell. There was also first run news on those shows as well that's not put anywhere else on the site. You also, with your membership, get access to the ad-free version of the website, no more pesky pop-ups, and you also get access to the membership forum. All that and much, much more for just $7.50 a month.
Which is right currently then, £6 in British money.
And that's plummeting all the time. Thanks, Brexit.
that's the only politics we're going to talk.
God help us all. If British people start talking about politics, it's not going to end well. No. Yes, instead we're here to talk about something much less controversial, NXT TakeOver Toronto. Now, myself and Hayden, being veterans of going to takeovers named after cities in which they take part, we are best suited to talk about this show, of course. It's nearly been a year since we got to go and watch NXT TakeOver London, Hayden.
Oh my god, that's a very good point. It was, what, December 17th or something like that last year?
Yes, it was the day that Star Wars Force Awakens came out on the midnight showing, and we sacrificed that to go and watch NXT TakeOver London. Well, still the best wrestling show I've ever been to.
Although, if you remember, we were stood in the queue outside, and there was a movie theatre just up the corner, and we kind of looked at each other and went, oh!
It was like, we could, but I've already booked tickets for tomorrow, and they'd all hate me forever if I went and saw it. I could just not tell them, of course, but I don't think I'd be capable, and all that good stuff. But no, yeah, it's been nearly been a year since we got to go and do it, and it doesn't look like we're getting a UK NXT TakeOver show this year, unless they happen to find one to put in December at the last minute. Instead, we're going to send off NXT into the new year with this show taking place on the Survivor Series weekend. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I really like that they're legitimizing the Survivor Series pay-per-view in particular, always the neglected child of the big four pay-per-views, with an NXT TakeOver special. And I also think it's been a nice amount of time from their last TakeOver show and this one, where I'm excited again to have a TakeOver show and take place on the WWE Network.
And that's the thing, it's exactly like you said, it sort of solidifies the whole weekend, and it makes the weekend itself a destination, as opposed to just the big pay-per-view on the Sunday. So it's a very smart strategy, and it gives NXT a lot more exposure, and in a way, like Triple H always says, it gives the main roster a kick at the backside when NXT are going out on the Saturday and putting on the best performances that they possibly can.
Because Survivor Series for the longest time was a self-fulfilling prophecy. They would say, oh, no one really cares about the format anymore. And then no one would care about the format, so then WWE wouldn't bother to build anything. People would continue not to care about the format, and it would get diminishing returns every year. I think the advent of the network is going to help that. They can make it a destination. It does bring back Survivor Series, traditionally one of my favourite pay-per-views of all time, brings it back into the fold, which is always great, and gives the year a nice bit of structure. But we're not here to talk about Survivor Series. That will be Jason Pell's job come Sunday night to talk you through that as well. No, we're here to talk about TakeOver. Only a five-match card, as it's kind of become tradition on these takeover cards. There's very, very rarely any more than, I'd say, 6 matches, I think. There will be dark matches, which will probably be taped for the following weeks of TV over on NXT. They did this for the last few takeovers as well. But as of yet, we don't know these. The last time myself and Hayden recorded a podcast preview for NXT, Triple H kindly announced the undercard whilst we were recording the show. Fingers crossed that's not going to happen here, but yes.
I think we need to say for full disclosure that we are actually recording this on Tuesday the 15th of November. So by the time you hear this on Thursday, if there's been more matches announced, we're not just ignoring them. We simply don't know at this very moment, because there's going to be some pre-show matches and things like that. But yeah, I just wanted to make that note in the interest of full disclosure.
There's some potential undercard matches they could have. I suspect they'll get Peyton Royce and Billy Kay against Aaliyah and what is her name? Liv Morgan. There we go. Yeah. That could be a tag match there. They could do something with Austin Aries and Roderick Strong taking on somebody.
Aries is out injured.
Yeah, but he may have. I know he was a bit of a bad shiner, but there's a chance he might have recovered. I don't know.
They could do something, if I remember rightly, but I could be off on that.
Well, anyway, Austin Aries is there. He could do something. I suspect they'll fill out that undercard with some matches there. But no, we're here to talk about the 5 matches here. There's only one that doesn't really have anything riding on it, and that's the Ty Dillinger versus Bobby Roode. But that also has the potential to be, I'd say, the kind of dark horse of the show. But it also has the potential to hijack the rest of the show, depending on who the crowd reacts to. But we'll get to that later on. We'll start, of course, with the headline match. The rematch from the last TakeOver show, this is going to be Shinsuke Nakamura defending his NXT title against Samoa Joe. We've had a really good build-up, I felt, to this. They had Joe kind of taking out Nakamura early on, when it seemed like he changed his ways, sort of swerve. He took out Nakamura for a few weeks. He demanded the title. He waged war on the NXT locker room. Not to the extent I wanted him to. I wanted full-blown, every episode, Samoa Joe killing somebody for like a month. That would have been fantastic. Eventually, Nakamura turns. We've had a few good brawls with security, with each other, with Regal kind of trying to calm everything down, with ultimately being futile. And, yeah, we now find ourselves with... it's still a rematch, so it's not got that kind of first-time quality that their initial match had for the NXT title. But I'm still excited to see where we go, where they can take this match from where they left off at the last TakeOver special.
Yeah, definitely. And the point I want to make, and it was a good point originally brought up by Zach Zimmerman, another Pro Wrestling .net staffer, on his NXT review, which was that because Samoa Joe took Shinsuke Nakamura out early on, and there's a couple of weeks where the top feud wasn't getting as much focus as you'd usually expect, it kind of made the TV shows a bit flat. But at the same time, because of the way that it was built, because it was a slow build, because it wasn't, it didn't peak too early, because of that reason, it's led to this point. So it's a bit of a swings and roundabouts type situation. But it's built up to a very nice crescendo, and I fully expect, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in a moment, that this is going to be the blow-off feud, so I'm sure both men are going to go hard at each other.
Absolutely. I don't think Joe has actually delivered a bad takeover match so far. He even had a good match. He had Baron Corbin's best match to date on an NXT takeover special. That is the extent of Joe's prowess in the ring, that he can get a good match into Baron goddamn Corbin. So yeah, this is likely to be the highlight of the show, I think, in terms of in-ring content, so there's no real need for us to second-guess what's going to happen there. I think the ending, I think they're still building Nakamura. I think they still want him to be the kind of the poster child. As we move into the new year, we're likely to get another takeover special around the Royal Rumble, which isn't actually that far away. That's only about 2 months away, I'd say.
So
that's not a lot of time, and need somebody big to kind of stay at the top of the card. I suspect I know who his next challenger will be, but we'll get to that in a moment. So I fully expect Nakamura to hold on to the title, and I also expect, following this match, Samoa Joe will be main roster bound.
Yeah, that would be the most sensible route. You know, obviously, Joe going up to the main roster has been talked about for a very long time, probably since the moment he actually walked in through the doors of the Performance Center. But now is the time. You know, SmackDown needs a badass heel. I suppose even a babyface Samoa Joe. You know, just a Samoa Joe on SmackDown in general. They just need that star power. I know what you're saying about Shinsuke Nakamura. I do wish that he would also be able to go up. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit longer if he wins the match here, which I fully expect that he will, being the champion and everything. I know Kevin Owens did it. He went up to the main roster with the championship. I don't think that's going to happen with Shinsuke. But I do want to see him on the main roster sooner or later, possibly around about WrestleMania time.
I think if there's another SmackDown pay-per-view to get through between now and the Royal Rumble, Joe could be a big help on there, either teaming with AJ, facing AJ, or some combination of those two somewhere. I think that's still got the drawing power. Maybe not on a WrestleMania card like I would kind of hope it would be, but still, there's something there. I don't think they'd hold him off until the Rumble. That might be too long a wait for Samoa Joe to get to the main roster, but I wouldn't be surprised if both of these men actually turn up in the Royal Rumble, with Joe already being on the main roster and then this being Nakamura's debut. I think the consensus that they're both getting on, they're not spring chickens anymore. They're not old necessarily, but they're not someone who can stay in NXT for that long amount of time and it not be detrimental to their WWE main roster career. You know what I'm saying? It's neither of these men have been particularly careful with their bodies over the years. They've been hitting the indie scene and the Japanese scene hard for many, many, many years at this point. I don't want it to diminish their WWE career by sticking around for NXT just for the sake of, you know, one more tour or one more takeover show.
No, you carry on.
I'm fine with Nakamura retaining here and then losing at the next show. That would be fine. Or they did something like they did with Paige back when she went up to the main roster when she was still the NXT Women's Champion, in that Nakamura never loses his title. It's just he's moved up to the main roster and Regal says, well, if you're a main roster talent now, you can no longer be an NXT talent. We're taking the title away from you. That way you protect Nakamura's first loss, which would be probably the smartest way to do these things.
Are you suggesting that Samoa Joe being in TNA was on the indie scene?
No, but you know what I mean? He was in the indie scene. He was with Ring of Honor. And it wasn't like he had a soft time in TNA. He wasn't exactly, you know, wrestling comedy matches and taking zero bumps. He was still in hardcore matches and lethal lockdowns and all that good business. So he's getting older. He's not wrestled a big man style as well, which he probably could have got away with and had the longevity of a Big Show or a Kane. He's wrestled sometimes like an X-Division guy in TNA. So yeah, I don't want... He's done such good work on NXT. It's so great. Take that momentum. It's still a developmental territory. Let's never, ever lose sight of that fact. Yeah. This is meant to be the under-21s. And if someone was playing this good in the England under-21s, you bet your ass they're making the full squad for the next, you know, the next set of games.
Yeah. No, you got no argument with me there.
Right, so I think we're both in agreement. Nakamura retains.
Correct.
And yeah, fingers crossed, we've all at some point called, no, this is when Joe's going to the main roster. Let's hope for once we're right. Right, the other big title match on this show, the one that has been building for quite some time now, is of course Asuka taking on the returning Mickie James. This is an idea that I had a few weeks ago where it was, there's a bit of a problem, Hayden, at the moment with the NXT Women's Division. You probably notice it, in that you basically have a great white shark in a very, very small fish tank.
That's a very interesting way of putting it. Yeah, the women's side of the roster on NXT has certainly been raided, which is probably not even the word. They've been decimated by the call-ups to both Raw and SmackDown. They do have some good women wrestlers in the division, but nowhere near the quality of Asuka at the moment. So bringing back a Mickie James is incredibly smart in terms of it gets you through a takeover, and it also highlights to the other women in the division the standards that they have to reach.
Definitely, because this was basically the only way they were going to be able to keep Asuka as NXT Women's Champion and not do the scenario just laid out for Shinsuke. Mm-hmm. In that they could have just put her up and said, right, she's clearly too big to be beaten by anybody. We're just going to have to put her on the main roster, vacate the title, and just start again all over. They're having to do that already, but they're still having to do that with Asuka there, which is, as I alluded to, like putting Jaws in a paddling pool. This is the smartest way to keep Asuka doing something and to keep Asuka busy. We've not exactly a credible threat. I don't think any of us expecting Mickey James to win the NXT Women's title here, but still someone with a bit of what's the word I'm looking for, Hayden?
Star power?
Star power, a bit of credibility,
yeah.
Whilst they kind of build that the rest of the division out of Asuka's shadow. We all know, or we all think we know, who the next NXT Women's Champion is going to be. It's going to be Ember Moon, but they've still got to get her ready. The fact she doesn't have a match on this NXT TakeOver is a little bit alarming. They could have built her up. If they built Billy Kay better and had Billy Kay really go on a tear without crossing paths with Ember Moon, that could have been a good sixth match to add to this TakeOver show. Is you have, you know, Billy Kay has been destroying most of the little tiddlywinks in the women's roster. Here comes Ember Moon, the new badass on the scene, and that'd be a match I'd be excited to see, had they not already done that already and had Ember Moon beat Billy Kay. Sorry, back to the point. I like this inclusion. I think Mickie James is a hell of a get for them to put on the NXT card. She's still wrestling week in, week out. She's still got what it takes to perform on this type of level. Star power, credibility, name recognition, it's a win-win situation. As much as we don't expect her to win, it's a great get for the casual fans to come and check out NXT, and it's a good match. It has the potential to be a very, very good match as well.
Yeah, I'm under no illusions that she's going to be as good as she was back in her prime, when she feuded with Trish Stratus. You know, she was outstanding back then. In a division which wasn't being taken as seriously as it is now, but she still is a very good wrestler. I haven't seen her recently. I saw her about a year ago in a PCW event, and she was teaming with her husband Magnus against Viper and Ken Anderson, and she looked really good. I was taken slightly aback because I didn't realize that she had been wrestling in the amount of time that she had. So. Again, obviously it was a year ago, so she might be a year worse, or maybe even a year better. We don't know. We'll find out when this match happens. But at the same time, she's got the experience and, again, the star power and the credibility that her and Asuka are going to have a great match, I think.
As there's no doubt over the winner here, I don't think we need to dawdle on it too long.
No.
I think the question then becomes, we can do as a quick aside, do we think the next takeover they'll repeat this trick and kind of wheel in a big name from the independents to take on Asuka, or do you think by that point Ember Moon will be ready for at least her first challenge at Asuka?
I don't think Ember Moon's going to be ready by Royal Rumble time if they have a takeover around, if we assume that they have a takeover at the Royal Rumble weekend, so I can see them bringing someone back in. It's obviously a difficult question to answer right now, but I'm guessing from the fact you've asked the question, you may have a sneaking suspicion.
It's not that I have a sneaking suspicion. I just think they could go down the route that has proven so well for the likes of Bayley, Sami Zayn, even Samoa Joe to some extent, in that you see them fail to win the title straight away. That's what Asuka did, because that was how Asuka was built, as kind of an unstoppable Terminator. They've done that to some extent with Ember Moon. She hasn't lost yet, but she's not exactly been just wiping people out like Asuka has.
Yeah.
I think you come to that Royal Rumble, you have Ember Moon challenge first off, you have Asuka destroy her, and then you have between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania to build Ember Moon back up, put her in a tournament to create a number one contender, have a beat, have a run, a gauntlet match or something that proves her mettle, and then you return to the idea of WrestleMania's takeover event, and you have Ember Moon go over there. I because off the top of my head, I can't think of a woman like Mickie James that they could bring in that's still wrestling at high enough quality, that's still got name recognition from the past with WWE, that they could bring in short-term to do it. Like, they're not going to go get Karma or Awesome Kong, I don't think. I think that's off the table. I was about to say Victoria, but I don't think Victoria's wrestling anymore. I think she's, because she's always a little bit older than the likes of Mickie James anyway. I haven't heard of Victoria wrestling any place recently, so I don't think that would work. That was my initial thought, was they could go get Victoria, but I don't think she's wrestling anymore. Eve Torres has been out of the game for too long, I think. Michelle McCool, same thing. Layla, maybe, but I don't think that doesn't have the same, you know, she wasn't seen as a great champion like Mickie James was. So I think it was a great stopgap here, but I think they need to start getting Ember Moon ready. They can do that by forging her with a loss and then having her revenge that down the line. I think that would be fine. Plus, that is a match I really want to see. As much as I laid out the option to vacate the title and have Asuka move up anyway, I really want to see Asuka versus Ember Moon. That could be a hell of a match.
Yeah, if it's built right and Ember is ready at that point, then yeah, I agree.
Right, we have one more title match on this show. This is, of course, the late in the game announcement of our NXT tag title match. It seemed the Dusty Rhodes Classic would take the place of the traditional tag team title match that we have on these takeover shows. But no, due to their interferences in DIY's matches, the Revival are putting up their tag team titles against Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. They had a really, really good match at the last show at Brooklyn, Brooklyn 2. Pretty much the show stealer. I think Joe vs. Nakamura was really good as well, but that was a match that a lot of people were talking about, so I'm not displeased that we're getting the rematch already.
No, and especially the fact it's 2 out of 3 falls as well. You know, it adds that little extra dimension to the match as well. And, you know, we all know Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are fantastic wrestlers, and the Revival have really sort of surprised a lot of people. It's difficult to praise this and build this match up more than, you know, than people are already sort of really hyped up and looking forward to it. But, with that expectation, sometimes it can bring a bit of disappointment when they don't live up to it. But I've got no worries about this. All four men are fantastic wrestlers, and I'm looking forward to this match a lot.
I agree. I suspect we're going to get something pretty sweet here. I did think they would hold off on this match because I had DIY down to win the Dusty Rhodes Classic. I thought there was a nice bit of storytelling in there, in that they came into the company, of course, last year during last year's inaugural Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. I like the idea that they could then come back in the second year and win it. That would then set up an obvious rematch with the Revival. But they've decided to forego that. It seems the writing on the wall is there for who's going to win the Dusty Rhodes Tag Classic. Should that go down the way we expected, it also makes sense for DIY to pick up the titles here. We, of course, have predicted 2 title retains so far. So if they're going to come out of the show with a new champions, I would suspect, highly suspect, it's going to be this match that would produce it.
On the flip side of that,
mm-hmm.
if they're going to go with the suspected feud, singles feud between Gargano and Ciampa, do you think that might happen here on the other spectrum of possible results?
I mean, it's something there that they could go to, but I think because it's still a relatively young tag team, but in terms of they've only just become permanent members of NXT,
mm-hmm.
I don't think the time is ready. The time is right just yet. They haven't, even though they just had this tag title tournament, their tag title division is still not very deep, especially on the babyface side of things. I think it's DIY and then everybody else. Up to and including TM61, because they just haven't had the time and care given to them to really get over as babyfaces yet. They're somewhat over, but they're not a, you know, people's champions yet like DIY are. I think Gargano vs. Ciampa is a feud you could say for, say they have a bit of a barren streak coming out of the WrestleMania takeover show, or they want to book it for that WrestleMania takeover show. That's when you do it. I don't think the time's right here. I don't think the Revival would necessarily leave to go to the main roster should they lose here. But that could also be a very easy rematch set up for the relatively short amount of time we have between this takeover and the suspected one before the Royal Rumble in January.
Yeah, and I agree. I just always hark back in my mind to the teasers that they've sort of put out there in sort of backstage interviews and things like that. And, you know, I really hope they don't. I want them to stay together for a little while, and then it'll mean a lot more. And I do, you know, my prediction is that DIY take the tag team championships here. I was just playing devil's advocate and just wondering what your thoughts were, Darren. Actually, I don't want to know what your thoughts are. That's a very scary avenue to go down.
It is. Just go and listen to this week's Ring of Honor audio if you haven't, to see where my mind can take me occasionally. No, I think my choice here of DIY winning the titles is very much dictated by the other tag match we have. The culmination of the somewhat underwhelming Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic 2016. Of course, last year's tournament was a really big success and was won by Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, which then set them off on their singles feud. This year, I don't expect anything that monumental to go down. Obviously, it's going to be diminishing returns because it's not the inaugural one anymore. It's the tricky second album. But the matches that led up to this point, there was no real gems in there. There was no real, you know, great stories being told. Other than they had the revival and the DIY, but that was a continuing storyline already. It didn't start in this tournament.
And they had Almas against Alexander sort of start their feud, which hasn't really been followed up on as well as I was hoping. But at the same time, it did start them in the first round.
There we go. That could have been a match at this takeover show. That might be an undercard match we might get as well. I had actually forgotten about that match, that feud, actually, because it's not been very prominent on TV recently. But no, instead we've ended up here. Now, last year they had on the show that the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic went down on, which I believe was NXT TakeOver Respect, I think. This was the show headlined by Bayley versus Sasha Banks in the Iron Man match. But they had both semi-finals and the final of the Tag Team Classic on that show. Mm-hmm. We're just getting the finals here, and it's going to be TM61 taking on the Authors of Pain. Had they put any amount of time and effort into getting TM61 over. Now, we have got, at time of recording, one more episode of NXT to go, so they might do a last-ditch, you know, backstage promo or in-ring promo where TM61 get a chance to talk and put over their kind of, well, Shane Thorne's quirky personality. Nick Miller is just, like Shane Thorne is like this unstoppable, charismatic juggernaut, and then there's just Nick Miller. I can't think of a more appropriate, boring name for a bloke who looks like the boring member of the team.
Should we get into what I assume is a spoiler for tomorrow's episode for a stipulation?
At this point, this show will be going out after show, so I think we will find to talk about. Yes, whilst me and Hayden were looking at the Wikipedia listings for this show, Hayden came across something that we initially thought was someone pulling a prank, but have since found out it's true.
And it looks like it's going to play out on the episode of NXT, which, as we're recording, is tomorrow, but as you're listening to this, probably be last night or the last NXT show before TakeOver anyway. And the stipulation is, Paul Ellering is suspended above the ring inside a cage.
As you do.
It's obviously difficult without knowing the context and knowing exactly what's led to this. But yeah, that's a very interesting stipulation.
At least they haven't got to get Paul Ellering down. It's not a Paul Ellering on a pole match, or a pole Ellering match, as I'd like to call it. At least it's not that, so we can be happy there. But I suspect even if you know, Paul Ellering was at ringside, or TM61 had brought the entire might of the Australian Army, I still think the Authors of Pain are going over every single day in this tournament. I thought if DIY had dethroned them, then DIY are in a good shape of winning it overall. As they didn't do that, and they instead sacrificed Sanity's kind of winning streak, albeit a lot shorter than the Authors of Pain's were, they sacrificed that to get TM61 to the finals. I think TM61 have been set up as the sacrificial lambs here, and Authors of Pain are going to not destroy them. I don't think it's going to be like a 2-minute match, but I don't expect we'll be seeing a lot of hope from TM61.
No, and I've got to agree. I think the Authors of Pain are going to go over here. You know, they are not. They're very Ascension-like, but they're not as bad by any means as the Ascension. But they are a team that need to be kept strong, and you know, if they lose the TM61 here in the final, although it'd be a nice moment for TM61, I just think it'll do a lot of damage to the Authors of Pain. So now they've booked themselves into this position, I don't think there's any doubt that the Authors are going to go over.
And then that plays into the match we just talked about, where I think DIY come over with the tag titles. The Authors of Pain dumped them out of the tag tournament. That's a very easy feud to go to down the line. Mm-hmm. I think the Dusty Classic should come with the stipulation of the winners get a tag title shot. It could be stated, but I think it's also expected that if you get that type of momentum, you're going to be in the running, naturally placed in the running for the NXT tag titles. I think heel Revival versus heel Authors of Pain doesn't really work. I don't think TM61 have enough momentum for TM61 versus the Revival, so I think that is the path of least resistance. That makes the most sense to me. Yeah. Have Authors of Pain go over here, have them face DIY pretty immediately for those tag titles.
Yeah, completely agree.
And that leads us on to the final match of this show, the one with nothing riding on it, and yet the most riding on it, in terms of Triple H must sit backstage going, please don't hijack the show because of this match. Please, God, don't hijack this show because of this match. This is, of course, taking place in Canada, already bizarro world, so good start there. They've put two unstoppable juggernauts of crowd chants up against each other to kind of cancel each other out, hopefully. This is the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger, who's from near Toronto, taking on Bobby Roode, who is from Toronto, which side of the crowd is going to chant more, ironically, the loudest match?
Yeah, it's one of the most intriguing matches on the card for probably the wrong reasons. It's going to be interesting. I hope they pull something off camera, where Bobby Roode comes out and he basically says, yeah, I'm listed as from Canada, but I would much prefer to be in Florida, or, you know, I prefer being in Florida in the performance center than being in this cold hellhole, or something like that. Just something to get the crowd to basically, you know, turn against him. If they just come out there with his glorious entrance, I just think that you'll get the biggest reaction over Ty Dillinger, and that's not what you want.
I'm in two minds of this. I think that there is a way to kind of try and stem the tide, wherein you do have Bobby Roode come out and cut those type of promos. He has been doing better heel work. Like, he's actually applied himself to being a heel.
Yeah.
He didn't really do this at the last takeover when he was taking on Andrade Cien Almas. He was glorious and he was fantastic and he was treated as such. They've actually put effort into, over the last few weeks, getting some heat on him. It has kind of worked. They got the trick of not playing his music when he wins and does something dastardly to do it, so that there's no reason for the crowd to sing along, and they instead boo him when he attacks Tojin on the stage, for example. And they've given him just sympathy. They can do a bit of a promo beforehand to kind of, you know, calm the crowd down a little bit and have them actually do what they're supposed to, maybe. But I don't know how much damage imitation you can do. They're still going to sing no matter what they do.
Yeah.
You know, he could shoot a puppy and they're still going to sing along to his song on his way down to the stage. So my other idea is then, why fight it? Just have a wonderful time in Bizarro Land. They're not going to do what you want them to do anyway because they're Canadians. So just have them... my nan was Canadian. I'm allowed to say these things, and I mentioned the best way possible. You can't tell a Canadian crowd what to do. They will do whatever the hell they please, and that is glorious.
I'm glad you clarified that.
It's fine. They're my people, Hayden. I understand them very, very well. So they're not going to be able to stop the Canadian crowd doing what they want, so why try? Just have this be the perfectly glorious match that it could be. See what I did there? And have both men just come out as unstoppable juggernauts of them, singing along to the glorious entrance music, everyone in the building doing the 10 chant, and just see what happens. I put this on early. I get it out of the way. And then hopefully by the time they've got through, I'd have this and then the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic match. Hope by the time that they've got through that match, the chance of calm down, they've got it out of their system, and then the three big matches for the titles can go ahead without really, you know, being in fear of being hijacked.
Yeah.
That'd be my hope. I think if you leave it too late in the show, they're going to be hyped for this match. I'm hyped for this match. It's actually my second most eagerly anticipated match on the card. I like what they've done with Bobby Roode so far. Yes, it is partly down to the fantastic entrance, and this match will pale in comparison to its entrances. But he's starting to do good heel work. He's got himself over in a relatively quick amount of time. And I am all aboard the Ty Dillinger hype train and have been for quite some time. No, finish.
I was just going to say that the other thing that needs to be considered as well is I don't keep a sort of win or appearance sort of list for Bobby Roode, but with him being in TNA for so many years, I wonder when the last time he actually wrestled in Canada was. So that might actually sort of build even more to your point about you could do anything and he's still going to get cheered.
Yeah. In terms of winner, I think Bobby Roode wins. Because I think Bobby Roode is going to be the next challenger to the NXT title.
That's a very good point. And I've got no argument with that, actually.
I think it makes the most sense. He's the one. He's got the momentum at the moment. And if there is one way to stop it, putting him up against Ty Dillinger was a good start, because everyone likes Ty Dillinger. You put him up against Shinsuke, and the crowd will not abandon their golden boy. You know what I mean? They will be at Shinsuke's side. As long as they put effort into making Bobby Roode a heel and have him do terrible things to Shinsuke, then I'm pretty sure that they will sing along, of course, because NXT, the cult of Full Sail will always do that. I think you put him alongside Shinsuke, they will be on Shinsuke's side, and that could be a very good feud. I don't think Bobby Roode has been brought in, at least in the reports we've been getting, Bobby Roode has been brought in a kind of player-coach role.
Yeah.
So I think he has a shorter lifespan in NXT than most people. He might eventually end up on the main roster. That would be great for him. He's obviously got over well so far, so there's no reason for him not to do that. But I don't think he's someone that can really sit in that mid-card for a very long time and be ignored, so to speak. There's no other obvious challengers that are ready for Shinsuke right now, so I think Bobby Roode's the obvious choice for that one, so I have him going over here.
Again, no arguments from me. You've made your point very well, and I literally can't add anything to it.
Excellent. What would you put your hype level at in terms of a letter grade for this show going into it?
An A. It'll be the first American live show that I'll be watching live since WrestleMania, because I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, I'm coming in at a B minus, I'd say.
Oh, really?
Don't take that to be an overly negative thing. That's still above average. It's especially since I'm going to most WWE pay-per-views at the moment at like an E. this is actually a very good mark for NXT. I think that the build hasn't been great for most of these matches. Like, Asuka versus Mickie James has been based on one segment, essentially, and then showing Asuka kill some people. The Dusty Rhodes has underwhelmed. Revive versus DIY, I'm hyped for the match, but the build's also been quite short in terms of, you know, the act from the start of it to now, after they rekindled the feud, so to speak. I think Nakamura versus Joe is the only one they've done a very good job on, and Rude versus Dinger has been good as well. So I'm coming into, I'm still hyped for it. I'm still going to at least attempt to watch part of it live. If not, it's definitely the first thing I do on Sunday morning is watch this show. But I wouldn't say I'm like massively jazzed and pumped and cannot wait for this takeover special, as I have been for a few in the past. Still excited, but maybe not an A as you are.
I do want to clarify that usually with takeovers, it is an A+. But, yeah, I can't look past the fact that I think it's going to be... I do agree that the build hasn't been as good as past takeovers, and I completely and totally agree with you there. But I do honestly think that the Nakamura-Joe championship match in the main event is worth an A alone, simply for the build, as well as the fact of the anticipation of how good the match is going to be. I just think they've done such a good job, and, you know, yes, there has been negatives because of the build, but it's ultimately going to be worth it.
And just before we leave, of course, as this is the British Invasion podcast, we have to at least attempt to make this substantially British. And over the past week, when the WWE were touring the UK, I didn't go to a show, did you, Hayden?
I didn't. I was meant to go to one, but in the end, I had to go somewhere else.
I was the same. I've had a very busy for the last few weeks, so I didn't actually have a chance to go to the one in Birmingham, but it was a SmackDown brand, and I haven't been watching SmackDown recently, so...
November is an awful month for me to go to any wrestling event, to be honest.
November's just an awful month in general, so that. But no, we didn't get to go, but they were in Glasgow for the TV tapings. Well done, Glasgow, by the way. You did fantastically well.
Yeah.
Don't expect them to come back anytime soon, but you did really well. yes, and at the Glasgow show, as they usually do when they have these tours. They had a tryout camp with a fair few notable names from the British indie scene, some of which you may have heard us mention on their Progress Wrestling show over on the membership side of things. We'll just give you a quick rundown now. Some people you may have seen in Progress include Trent Seven and Pete Dunne, who are the current Progress Tag Team Champions, and also Tyler Bate. Those three from the Fight Club Pro promotion, which is nearby me in a place called Wolverhampton. It's kind of my most immediate local wrestling promotion. I realised the other day I haven't been for more than a year, but I've been busy, I suppose. I have a girlfriend now, so, and she's not a big... I've talked to one show. You can hear about me talk about it on a Progress Wrestling show of how badly her first indie experience went. But yeah, so those three were there. They were joined by Viper, who's a big talent up in ICW and in PCW. They also had Pollyanna and Ginny, both the kind of the main two women in Progress Wrestling up until this point. There's starting to be a few more names in there. Some guy called Charlie Garrett, who I've never heard of, but Hayden has seen at PCW shows.
Yeah, he wrestles in a tag team. Like, for the life of me, I can't remember who he wrestles with. But he's a well built specimen, but at the same time, he's incredibly athletic and a very young lad. So I'm glad he got his opportunity to show what he could do.
And of course, there was also Hayden Gleed's favourite wrestler, Nixon Newell.
The best female wrestler in the world.
According to Hayden Gleed.
I do want to clarify for anyone who hasn't listened to the Progress wrestling podcast. She's from my hometown, so I'm completely and totally and unreservedly biased to Nixon Newell.
Very disappointing you. Of course, we'll have to point out, as I always do, no Dave Mastiff here, overlooked again, despite the fact he's the banter tank and the greatest wrestler in the UK. That's annoying. But, not the names I expected to be at this tryout camp. There's a fair few people I would have had above these people on the list. I'll put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised if any of them get picked up for NXT at this point. There was no one that really jumped out as like, oh, that seems like a surefire bet. Maybe Nixon Newell, actually, that she's the right combination of look, age, and, you know, they're always looking to bring in talents from around the world. Yeah. I don't think they've got any Welsh people at the moment, have they? Not since they got rid of Mason Ryan.
Why do you have to bring up Mason Ryan? Sorry, world.
So you've got at least I've got like several people that I can chirp on about. You only have Mason Ryan.
Nixon Newell, please make NXT.
I could see her going. I think Viper's very talented. Viper could be a sign there, but I don't know if he has the look. With the best win in the world, I don't know if Viper has the look they're looking for.
With Nia Jax being called up to the main roster,
you haven't
got a slot for a lady like Viper.
That's a very good point. I hope she does, because I've seen her wrestling. She's very good. The Ginny and Pollyanna, I think, flatter to deceive. They've got a lot of attention in Progress, but I don't think either of them are very good in the ring at the moment.
No,
they're okay. You can hear my extensive opinions on Pete Dunne and Trent Seven over on the Progress Wrestling show. Need to say I'm not digging their act at the moment.
No.
Pete Dunne was in a cruiserweight qualifying match at a Progress show. He lost to Jack Gallagher in a qualifying match, as I said, for the Cruiserweight Classic. So he's someone they've had on their radar already. So he might be the most likely of the three men. Tyler Bate is a specimen. He's only like 20 or 21 years old, but he's very well built. He's got a stupid moustache. He needs to shave that goddamn thing off immediately. But he's fine. He's kind of doing a throwback gimmick, which not like Simon Gotch type of throwback gimmick, but along those lines. So he could be. He's a young stud. He's someone they could pick up and try and mold, I think. I'd say Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate are more... are the more viable options of all the men that I saw on that list. But yeah, Nixon Newell, I'll happen to say Hayden, might be your best chance for an NXT sign up. Are you happy now?
I am. Thank you, Darren. I'm just looking forward to hopefully some of the British wrestlers being called up or given opportunities in NXT, and the fact that they had such a big class at these tryouts You know, it's a good indication of how hot the British independence scene is at the moment.
I'm just saying, if Big Damo can get an NXT contract, then why can't Dave Mastiff?
Will you stop about Dave Mastiff?
Never. He can do lucha headstands into moonsaults, Hayden.
And he's incredibly entertaining as well.
And he's from up the road, so yeah. Anyway, plug away, Hayden.
Thank you. You can find me, as always, on Twitter at Hayden Gleeds. I was going to write a blog this week, but if you listen to the ROH audio yesterday, you will know why I can't write a blog this week. But I will be back next week with that. I am hoping to do a preview for Survivor Series this weekend in written form. In audio form, tomorrow you will be listening to the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett, who will be running down the Survivor Series card, and that will be on All Access, so look for that tomorrow. So yeah, and again, if you, as always, just find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleed.
If you like what you've heard today from us on the All Access side, or if you liked our ROH podcast yesterday, you can of course get us much more frequently if you go over to the ProWrestling.net membership side of things. For just $7.50 a month, as I said at the top of the show, you can get access to audio reviews of every single American wrestling TV show that is. That includes NXT TakeOver Toronto, that includes Survivor Series and Raw, SmackDown and all that good stuff. Plus access to the .NET Weekly podcast and the membership form and ad-free access to the website. If you want to listen to me and Hayden talk more about the UK wrestling scene, you can over on our Progress Wrestling show. We were going to record our next chapter of the Progress Wrestling story, which is... what was the name of this show, Hayden? They have such weird shows, it's gone out of my head.
It was a Joy Division song.
A Sudden Sense of Liberty.
That's the one.
There we go. We have that show watched. We are going to record that podcast in the coming days. That will be out next week, so do come over to the membership side of things to listen to that. If you wouldn't mind doing me a favour, first of all, you can go follow me on Twitter at The Guttridge, and then you'll be able to see all the glorious links I've tweeted this week.
Glorious!
For my other website, which is FoulEntertainment.com, that's foul spelled F-O-U-L entertainment.com. We're doing a big Harry Potter week in the build to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them coming out at the end of this week. Every day so far, we've released a new podcast reviewing a Harry Potter movie. Today, this is Wednesday, Deathly Hallows Part 1 will have been out. So if you get in just now, you'll be able to catch Deathly Hallows Part 2 tomorrow and go back and listen to all the other reviews of all the other Harry Potter films in preparation, as I said, for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Plus, over there, you'll get recent reviews of Doctor Strange. All of our Pokemon podcasts in the build-up to Sun and Moon, we'll be reviewing that very soon in audio form as well. All over on FoulEntertainment.com. Thank you very much for listening. I do hope you enjoy NXT TakeOver Toronto, and we will see you all next week.
Bye!